Hello and welcome to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio, where we explore the stories, journeys and mindsets behind some of the most inspiring figures shaping well-being today. I'm your host, Belinda Walia, and today's conversation is one I've truly been looking forward to. Today's guest is a familiar face to millions, a woman whose warmth, energy and elegance have made her one of Britain's most recognised and trusted television personalities. But beyond the screen, her journey is one of reinvention, courage and personal evolution. Anthea Turner is not only a beloved TV presenter, she is now an entrepreneur, author, wellness advocate and the founder of her own skin brand by Anthea Turner. Her path from the bright lights of broadcasting to building a beauty and well-being brand is a powerful reminder that reinvention is not about starting again, it's about stepping into the next more aligned version of yourself. Anthea, it's such a joy to have you here today. Welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you very much for inviting me.
So let's talk about what it really takes to evolve, stay relevant and build something with heart, confidence and purpose. Anthea, many people know you from your years on television, but few realize how much courage and clarity it takes to evolve into a new chapter. What inspired you to take the leap into entrepreneurship?
I think you're meaning really the fact that you're still here after 40 years, because that's how long I've been doing television for.
Oh, bless.
The thing is, you say being an entrepreneur, I have to say that when you are a sole trader, and I'm sure anybody else who is listening would actually recognize what I'm saying, is that you are always an entrepreneur. You are your shop window. You are your own marketing department. You are your set dressing, your shop window, your sales department. So you are all encompassing. You are always all of those things. But what I started out doing, which of course was, I started out in radio, but in a very small way in radio, and then moved through to television. And my beginnings were really something called Skytrax, which was a sort of pop station. It was a bit like the MTV of the UK. And if I look back, and life makes more sense backwards, I was probably always selling myself. You don't really think about it in that way until you are old enough and long enough in the tooth to sort of look back over your career and your, and I hate to use that word, journey, but it is, you know, it is a journey. Life is a journey. And so you're always an entrepreneur. You're not probably producing an item that is then sold, but you are always being sold and you are selling.
And that's amazing. It's a truthful way, actually, the way you're putting it. Whether you're selling a product or not, you're always communicating value, aren't you? You're presenting who you are and what you stand for and how you show up. And that's entrepreneurship in its purest form, and understanding that is what sustains the career over time. And reinvention can be daunting, especially after decades of public life. What was the biggest mind shift, or mindset shift, I should say, that helped you embrace this new direction with confidence?
I'm not sure that we do anything with great confidence. I think we grow, we develop, and we're like sort of chameleons. You move into your next phase. Are we sure of what we're doing? Are we just, is it a natural progression? I don't think it's any one of those things. I think it is just, and sometimes I have to say it's necessity, it's life. You can't play the same game as you played earlier in your career, your life. I mean, you have to look at sports people, for example. There's a point when they are playing their sport, and then there's a point where they are monetizing who they were, what they did, less by sort of design and more by, and a little bit of accidents, you know, happy accidents. Do you think, and I know you've interviewed a lot of people, and I think that there are people, a friend of mine once said, oh, there's two types of people in this world. One who is asleep and the other who's awake. And I think if you are generally awake, you are awake to opportunities, you are awake to doors opening, then you have to make a decision. Do I go through that door or not? Do I stay in the safe zone or do I take a chance? Most people I know who have continued in their career, they've taken chances. Yes. Some of them haven't worked out. Some of them haven't worked out at all. But they've taken chances and they're willing to have a go. And if you are an open person, I think, yeah, those doors are open. You're given opportunities. Do you want to have a go at, I'm trying to think of things now that probably are outside of being a television presenter. Then suddenly you think, well, the reality television came into everybody's life. I'm very grateful, but it was a happy accident, that I actually took part in the very first reality program that involved celebrities in this country. And it was a funny thing because it was all done as a bit of a laugh for comic relief. So way back in the 2001, and at this point, we hadn't really got I'm a Celebrity anything. Richard Curtis, who is a well-known producer, director, Four Weddings and a Funeral, was probably the film that, you know, pushed him out there into everybody knowing who this producer was. Richard Curtis did Four Weddings and a Funeral, massively successful. He also was one of the people, the driving force behind Comic Relief. And, you know, one day he's scratching his head thinking, what can we do to sort of push this program out to a wider audience, bring people in so that we can talk about Africa, we can raise money. And he had this a wild idea of putting a format which had taken the British public, or they'd taken it into their hearts. I don't know if they watched it because they liked it or they watched it because sometimes it was a bit of a car crash. It was Big Brother. And Richard decided to put a whole load of celebrities in the Big Brother house, put cameras on them and do that for a week to see how they acted, reacted. And it was all in the name and under the banner of Comic Relief. Nobody got paid. It was all a bit of a laugh, although it didn't end up as completely a laugh. I think there were tears and drama within that house. And after that, a lot of people in the industry were scrabbling around thinking, let's look at formats that we can put well-known people into. And in fact, let's create one, which is how actually I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, came about. And then, of course, they took the Big Brother, they took the Big Brother model and they carried it on. Channel 4 carried it on because it had been so successful for the BBC and Comic Relief for a laugh, in inverted commas. So, and I remember sitting in Richard Curtis's kitchen and things weren't going too well for me at the time. I'd got divorced and a few things had happened in the media that, you know, weren't really, don't give me a lot of joy to think about. I sat in his kitchen, Emma Freud, his wife, who I have known for quite some time. And we sat in his kitchen in Notting Hill and he kept on feeding me hobnobs and coffee until I said, yeah, go on then, I'll do it. And, you know, that was a funny thing. So that introduced me to doing something which was very non-me. And that gave me, and the way it turned out, it was very successful for us all, but it was actually, it opened my eyes to the fact that I should try things, and yeah. I did. And from that, actually, that was another chapter turning in my career. What I'm meaning is that I took a risk and it was actually very successful, not only for Comic Relief, but for the people who were part of it. And actually, it is always recognized as something that changed a media concept. And created many programs after that. But it was Richard Curtis who was clever enough to come up with that. Actually, I say that, clever enough, he didn't know if it would work either. Nobody knew if it would work. We had to go.
But it's that willingness to try, to say yes, yeah, even when you're unsure. Often that marks the start of a new chapter, and whether it goes in your favor or not, it's the fact that you did it. And it's not about reinventing everything overnight. It's about staying open to what's next. And clearly that openness has kept your career evolving in really meaningful ways. I mean, you've always had a natural elegance and warmth on screen. How have those qualities translated into your work as a businesswoman and the brand creator? Because let's talk about your brand by Anthea Turner.
That's, I think, really evolved from me, something else that I thought I needed to embrace. I will never forget, it was actually a friend of mine, and we were embarking on an event. I helped her. She has lupus. Her name is Kelly Simpkin. She actually is now the wife of a really good friend of mine, Nikki Clark, a hairdresser, who many people will know that name in hairdressing. And I was helping her out because she has lupus and she wanted to do something to put lupus forward, to get people talking about it, to raise money, to raise awareness. And she decided that she wanted to do a 200-mile husky drive. Oh, wow. And finish that plan. But to really get it into a magazine, she needed me. So I went, yeah, of course, Kelly, of course I'll help you. It's absolutely fine, not a problem. And I'll never forget sitting on a plane with Kelly on our way to meet our huskies and do our 200, actually no, it was 200 kilometers. That was it, husky driving. Gosh, that was hard. It was really hard. Anyway, and she said to me, you ought to be on Instagram. And I, I didn't know much about Instagram, and I certainly didn't have an account. Anyway, she spent quite a bit of time teaching me about Instagram. And so I thought, well, I'll listen to her because she was she's younger than me. And this is why I think you should always have friends who are younger than you, 10 years younger than you and 10 years older than you, because the older ones are wiser and you can look to them for an awful lot of guidance, and the younger ones tend to keep you in touch with what's going on. So Kelly is one of my younger friends. And anyway, she taught me about Instagram. And Instagram, I have found, and I know that social media gets a bad rap, but Instagram allowed me, not overnight, but slowly, to build and find my tribe. Find the people who had probably known me 40 years ago when I started off on television. I was in Top of the Pops, or I was in Blue Peter and GMTV and various other things that I've done. We all sort of found each other. And it's a fantastic and such an interesting demographic. You know, I was born in 1960, so I'm a boomer. And there are lots of other boomers that sort of have gravitated towards Instagram. We are an interesting generation who are not our parents in the true sense of the word. You know, we're the generation who in many ways changed the world.
Yeah.
So, and we were thankful for what our parents had gone through. And then we went out there and had fun and moved. We moved countries, we moved away from home, there was so much opportunity for us. And I find it a fascinating generation, especially the women of that generation.
Yes.
And we all found each other on Instagram and started conversing. And I think it was from that that by Anthea Turner sort of rose, really. I had this idea that, and lots of people who contacted me, it was a lot of it was about, you know, how do I, wanting information, wanting advice. I think I'd got to the point in my life when I realized that, like a lot of women, we've spent a small fortune really on lotions and potions. And then we have to ask ourselves, do we need all these? Do we need them all? And what are they actually doing for us? And is it simpler than marketing companies would have you believe? I had worked out what worked for me. I'd worked out that there were certain things, certain ingredients that I thought were good for my skin. I mean, remember, you know, our skin, we are made up of fat, oil and water. So what are the three things that our skin actually understands and loves? And all you can do for your skin is really protect it and nourish it. You can nourish it with food from within. You can nourish it with what topically you put on it. And it's not that complicated. I just have a healthy respect for my skin and how much I expose it to the elements. So really it came from that. And also I think when we put our sensible head on, we realize that there's no cream in the land is going to lift my chin. What a cream can do, of course, you know, can a cream get rid of wrinkles? No, nobody's cream can get rid of wrinkles. What it can do is, of course, with the right creams and protection, you can soften your wrinkles because you have a moisturized skin. So I also realized that, in fact, there's something that we produce called Beauty 4, which is a face cream. And do I really need to have one cream for my eyes and another cream for my face, then a different cream for my neck and a different cream for my chest? No, you don't. You know, your skin is your skin. Yeah. And so we have Beauty 4. We call it 4 because it does your face, your eyes, your neck and your chest. That's it. We have Balm 6, which is the best cleanser I have ever used. I love it as a cleanser. It's a great cleanser. But also, this is not just a cleanser. It's also got things like castor oil in it because I've always used castor oil in my hair. It's got olive oil. It's got vitamin E. It's got prickly pear, which is nature's hyaluronic acid. So, and it's packed with many, many other things. So it acts as a face mask. It can be a moisturizer, and I use it as a moisturizer most nights. Everything that we produce doesn't just do one thing. It does many things. And at the moment, although we have got something that's coming out in the new year, but we have 3 hero products, and between them, they look after 13 areas of your body. Mm-hmm. Now, it's some would say, if you were a real businesswoman, you'd sell, you know, you'd sell 13 pots, but I don't want to, because these are very honest. The money is in the pot. We have lovely packaging, but we don't have packaging that that doesn't make them. It's not basic packaging. It's nice packaging, but I don't want to be spending so much money on packaging that I am charging the people who buy our product so much money that they're actually spending money on the uniform of the assistant, massive marketing, and you know it's a pot that comes in another box, that comes in another bag. No, it doesn't. The money is really in the pot, and that money is going to go on your face. It is value for money. And it's a very honest product, and they're very honest, honest products. That's what we want. We want honesty in the beauty business. And maybe I just wanted to disrupt it a little bit and say that these don't lie. Fib. Let's say fib, shall we? A lot of fibs in the beauty business.
And we appreciate your honesty, because the way you described everything, it's such a lovely note to end a day when you're putting one moisturizer on, something to nourish you. And it's a sort of ritual that's calming and refreshing and grounding and mindful as well. And I think that's a beautiful way to express it as well. And that integrity really comes through, Anthea, where you're choosing honesty over access, putting the value in what people are actually using rather than inflating the price through unnecessary packaging or hype. And it's a very conscious, ethical way to doing business. And I think listeners can really feel that respect for the customer. I think you're listening to your audience. You're actually catering for your audience, which is a beautiful thing. Anthea, thank you so much for your honesty and insight so far. We're going to take a short commercial break with a word from our sponsors, but stay with us. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with a skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Belinda Walia, and we're here with the wonderful Anthea Turner. Before the break, we explored courage, reinvention, and the beginnings of Anthea's skincare journey. Welcome back, Anthea.
Thank you very much.
We really appreciate you sharing the story behind the product and the brand by Anthea Turner. But what does skincare mean to you personally? Is it just about looking good, or is there a deeper sense of self-care, perhaps confidence and self-respect behind it?
I think, you know, we're women, and there's nothing wrong with a little bit of vanity. Vanity can be very good for us. It's sometimes our armor. My mother used to call makeup, she'd say, "I'm going to put my war paint on now." And we all used to laugh, and I probably didn't completely understand it because I was a lot younger. A lot of women get to a point, and sometimes maybe it's just during that menopause, it's when you start to realize that you're moving into another chapter of your life. And I know this can happen at any time, but it's often quite prevalent there at that juncture in your life, is when you sort of lose your confidence. And when you lose your confidence, and confidence is one of the great keys of life. And I'm not talking about a cocky confidence, you know, oh, look at me confidence. I'm talking about just that, just confidence in who you are, what you are, who you, you know, what you stand for. And one of the first things that we do tend to look at, we sometimes stand there and we look in the mirror and we're not feeling our best. The only thing you can ever be is, you know, you can't fight aging. No, we are all aging, but what it's good to do is to look the best you possibly can. And there's nothing wrong in putting effort into the way you look and you present yourself to the world, because you know that when you walk into somewhere and you're looking the best you can, That gives you a little confidence. And
It
with that
does.
confidence, shine, you glow, you speak to people, you look at them in the face, look at them in their eyes, and you go, yes, actually, I am me. This is me. I mean, this works with different degrees of different people, I know, but don't be afraid of a little vanity. It's been my job, obviously, because I'm in a visual medium.
Mm-hmm.
And I have on many occasions, you know, had to sort of get up, scrub up and show up because it's what I do. You do suddenly think, oh, actually, hold on a second. You know, I'm not the person that I was. Well, actually, you are the person that you were. In fact, you're better than the person you were because you have wisdom. But you maybe just need to spend a little bit more time on yourself and not giving things to everybody else. Give, give, give. We're nurturers. We're women. Just spend a little bit more time on yourself. And do you know, I often think you've always got a friend who's probably is a little bit of ahead of you in this and has always maybe spent a little more time on herself than you have. And then go and ask their advice. And what is wonderful about being a woman is we do talk to our friends. You know, men don't do this in the same way. We do. And so pull on the power of your friends if you're going through a difficult time and ask their advice. What would you do?
But that's such wise advice, Anthea, because drawing on the people around you, creating that little circle, big circle, it depends, you can really turn to. It reminds us we don't have to navigate change alone. And yes, you're right, female friendships is such a powerful resource, and asking for advice isn't weakness at all. You can draw in from that strength. But there's many women, as you know, that in midlife who struggle, and they struggle in particular with confidence and visibility. What message do you have for those who feel it's too late to start something new?
Oh my goodness me, it's never too late. It's never too late at all. So many doors do open to you, but don't put blinkers on. Don't stop seeing things. Every day something will come to you and you can say yes or you can say no. It's very difficult. It's easy for me to say this, and I know it's more difficult to do, and I have been there. But just start saying yes. Yes, and then think about, you know, I was talking to, this is extreme. We were on a friend's boat actually doing a podcast on a sunny day in July, and a hairdresser called Andrew Barton was talking to me about how badly he was bullied at school and how it had stayed with him. But in some ways, he has to be grateful for it because it's made him the person he is today, and he's a fantastic chap. And so he's very much part of a charity called Kidscape, and that charity to raise money and raise awareness of bullying and how awful it can be for young children and how that can stay with you and cause you problems for the rest of your life. He said, oh, I'm climbing Kilimanjaro in January. He said, do you fancy coming with me? I don't know if I'd had a glass of champagne. It was a hot day. It was July. We were actually on camera. And before I could think of a really good reason not to do it, I said, yeah, of course. Call Andrew. I'm so touched by what you've said and the way you've explained how difficult this was for you. And you're like, yeah, of course I'll come with you. Well, anyway, so next month or in January, on the January the 30th, I will be with Andrew with my backpack climbing Kilimanjaro in Tanzania.
That's amazing.
But we are camping in igloo tents on the mountain. And doing whatever else we need to do, all ablutions, let's say, will be done on the side of a mountain. Ask me when I come down if this was a good idea. I'm not sure, but it's an adventure, and I know that there are 37 of us. I don't know anybody apart from Andrew, not one other person. I've sort of, I think, pulled my kit together with the help of Mountain Warehouse, and off I go. And there will be, it'll be a life adventure.
No, but that's incredible, Anthea. Truly inspiring. What an extraordinary thing to say yes to.
I know, it is. I'm my words, really.
No, but
February.
It's brave, it's purposeful.
And just stupid.
I wouldn't say it's stupid, but clearly, to everything you've shared today about staying open, using your voice and turning compassion into action, that's what it's saying to your audience now. And it, of course, there's what you're saying is it's never too late, no matter what. And that's where confidence comes from. And using your voice and turning compassion into that action, I have no doubt that journey will mean so much to you, to Andrew, and to everyone you're helping through it, because that's phenomenal. Well done you for even saying yes.
But there's trepidation. Yes, I'm not, cockily going off going, oh, I'm going to be fine. I'm hoping that the altitude doesn't get the better of me. I don't think it will, but we never know. But say that is extreme. However, in everyday life, it doesn't matter. I very recently did some filming at a single traveler's hotel. I didn't know anything about single traveling. I've traveled a lot on my own, but through work, and I've met crews all over the world. But I went to Crete and made a film about a hotel called the Mistral Hotel. It's in Crete, and everybody that arrived there, I was in a filming position, was traveling on their own because of many reasons. What was fabulous is that they'd all said, yes, I'm going to go on holiday on my own. And I remember when I got divorced, and I had about 5 years sort of really on my own, I will never forget getting in the car and driving to Gatwick Airport. I was actually, for the first time, even though I was meeting some friends where I was going to in the south of France, but I was actually going on holiday on my own. And although I'd, as I say, traveled the world, I'd met crews in all sorts of places, Africa, Australia, it hadn't hit the sides, I'm fine. This was a mindset. I was going on holiday on my own. Mm. And I cried in my car as I'm driving all the way to Gatwick Airport. And I just couldn't get my head. And it was an emotional thing.
Yes.
Because you think everybody else is all here, families and husbands and wives, and everybody is going on holiday. And here's me, a little saddo going on my own now. But it was a great lesson. It was a great lesson for me. And once I got over that, sort of going on holiday and traveling on my own didn't seem such a bad thing. But it's those sort of things. So you don't have to go to Kilimanjaro. But just start to say, if you're on your own, just say yes. Yeah, I'll go. And work out how you're going to do that near the time. But just say yes.
And doing something for the first time on your own can feel overwhelming. But it's also that moment you realise you're stronger than you thought.
We all are, aren't we? We are. Just need to push ourselves. And sometimes we need somebody to push us.
Absolutely. But thank you so much for sharing your insight so far, Anthea. We'll take another short break, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle Magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Belinda Walia, and we are continuing this inspiring conversation with the amazing Anthea Turner. Welcome back, Anthea.
Well, it's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Let's continue. I mean, we're learning so much, and I love the stories that you're sharing. So how has your understanding of health, beauty and well-being evolved over the years, especially as you've gone from being the face on screen to the visionary behind the brand?
I don't think I really started looking after myself properly until I think it was more so in my 40s. I think every decade that's gone by, I have push the bar out a little bit more. And that's probably because you realize that you've got more air miles behind you than you have in front of you. You're either going to look at life as I want to have life in my years. I mean, we can't legislate for everything, I know. I want to give myself the best opportunity I possibly can to live, not necessarily will I live a longer life, but I want to be healthy within the life that I have. And I do want to look my best as well. It has a huge amount to do with what you eat and actually what you don't eat. I'm not monastic about this. I was out last night with three gorgeous friends that I absolutely adore. We shared a lovely bottle. And I love to be with friends, and I have a drink when I'm eating, but I know when to stop.
Yeah,
I have that stop valve. I exercise. I'm not crazy about it. I look after my bone health because I was diagnosed with osteopenia, which gave me a little bit of a wake up call to make sure, and then I do the research. And what we're so lucky now in this time that we live in, that we have this information at hand. I remember sort of about 13, 15 years ago, probably, when I was going through the menopause, there was so little out there, really. Nobody talked about it. My mum, she'd never had it. I'm sure she did, because there was a point in our lives when I remember mum wasn't quite the same as she used to be. She came out of it, but she was biting our heads off. there was, and I went to my doctor. I went to my doctor, and I would have been 52. I'm 65 now, and I went to my doctor, and he gave me, and I clearly explained everything that I was going through, and he didn't give me HRT or give me a lecture about the menopause. He gave me tranquilizers. I mean, goodness me.
Yes.
Thankfully now the conversation is open for women to talk to each other, and we have wonderful people through social media who talk about them, myself included. I talk about it a lot now. And isn't that, I was at a debate not that long ago, and I was on a panel, and it was so wonderful to all these women in a room of different ages, in perimenopause, in menopause, and like me, who is sort of definitely at perimenopause. And we're able to all talk about it freely and openly, not be embarrassed. And isn't that a wonderful thing that we have now? And please, nobody go through these things alone. You don't have to. Do your research. Look at people, and or they say look at people who talk about, but be careful, because there are lots of people who have sort of made their career on talking about it. And, you know, unless they have a good medical background or some, you know, knowledge, you know, don't believe everything. It is a part of aging. Menopause is a part of aging. And I have to say, for me, I look back at my menopause, and I am a little bit of a Pollyanna. My glass will always be half full. It was an amazing wake-up call for me to start looking after my health.
Yes.
To understand my female health, to start to look after it, to start to respect it, and start to understand what the health of a woman is all about.
Yeah.
So I see it. I see my menopause journey. Obviously, there were a few bumps along the way, but as a very positive thing. It was a little bit of a, as they say, a slap with a wet fish around your face to sort of go, right, let's look at what I'm eating. Let's look at what I'm doing. You know, am I sleeping properly? Am I prioritizing my sleep? Because I was somebody who didn't generally put on weight easily, so I had the pudding and another helping. Great, but it's not good for you. So I cut down my sugar. I said no to bread. Occasionally, I do like a bit of toast, but you know, you go. I go on the 80-20 rule. So 80% of my time, I do the right thing, and I give myself 20% to have a bit of fun, have that glass of wine, have that pudding. And I think that's quite a good way to live.
And thank you for sharing that and being so honest. And I must say, you look absolutely fabulous for 65. You really do.
And thank you.
What you said earlier about going to professionals and making sure that you're getting the right advice, I think that's such a powerful reframe as well, Anthea. So seeing is not as something that happened to you, but as a wake-up call to understand and respect your health more deeply is so important. And there, yes, you said there were bumps along the way, but you've changed that. You've mended your lifestyle to actually listen to what your body needs, learn more
absolutely
about yourself.
And absolutely, this, you know, is so important.
It is really very important, and I really appreciate you sharing that. And finally, Anthea, when you think about your journey from TV presenter to entrepreneur, what does success mean to you now, and what kind of legacy do you hope to leave?
My legacy will be sharing. I do think it's important to speak. If you have got a platform, speak, discuss. I'm no great expert, but I've become an expert on life, and I'm quite open and honest, and I'm happy to share that, you know, there've been good times, that there've been not such good times. I think to be able to talk to other women about confidence, I always tell a little story, and it involves a pink Dolce & Gabbana suit, and I remember, on the subject of confidence, I was at GMTV. I'd made this crazy leap in broadcasting where I'd gone from Blue Peter, a little happy children's television programme, although obviously a very big and very well-known one, to breakfast television. When I arrived there, I don't think I really had actually thought this one through. I don't think anybody had, even the people who'd employed me. But I was brought in because they saw something in me that they wanted to have on breakfast television at the time. And what I didn't tell them and what nobody had really thought about was, what was I going to wear? What I didn't actually let on or probably understand at the time, that I'd only got, I started on the Monday and I'd only got enough smart clothes to get me to the Thursday. And when on the Friday I arrived in a sort of pleated rah-rah skirt with over-the-knee socks and a jumper, I think quite rightly, everybody thought, what the heck is she wearing? We need to sort this out because we've just employed this girl who clearly has got no clothes. So I was taken by the wardrobe mistress to Harvey Nichols, of all places. What a gorgeous place that is. And I still revere it to this day. Lovely department store in London. And they obviously, her directive was, dress this girl, make her look like an anchor on ITV, not a children's television presenter. So, I have to say as well, I was sinking a little bit because I'd come from a completely different world and I had no confidence. Well, in fact, I did have confidence when I got there, but I was fast losing it. Mm. And my nose was probably just above the waterline. So to cut a very long story short, they dressed me. And I went back into that studio with this whole wardrobe of clothes that I would have never normally worn in a million years. This probably wasn't me. I'd not attained this position to wear clothes like this. So I came back into the studio and I remember walking in a beautiful pink Dolce & Gabbana suit, which still hangs in my wardrobe. And it hangs in my wardrobe, not that I could probably fit into it now, but the fact it was a turning point in my life. Mrs. Thatcher, I believe, is the lady who said it, that 50% of the job is looking the part. Mm. She certainly did. Mm. And that day, that morning, I walked into the studio looking the part. And I remember glancing into the monitor and seeing this woman sitting there, not a girl, this woman sitting there and saying, hello, good morning. Welcome to GMTV. And all of a sudden, its confidence arrived. And it sounds like it's a really silly thing. It was just the way I was dressed. I grew into my clothes. It wasn't that my clothes grew into me. I grew into my clothes. And years later, when I left, they presented me with this lovely big plaque. And it said, she came, she spoke, she conquered. And that plaque and my pink Dolce & Gabbana suit, which I also had many other things placed in the ward, my GMTV wardrobe, but that was a massive turning point. And it taught me a lesson, you know, and I, to this day, I do try and dress for the occasion. And I know that clothes do make a difference to the way you walk into a room. And your confidence. And it sounds a really silly thing.
It doesn't at all. It doesn't sound silly at all. You showed up, you found your footing, and you grew into your power.
Well, as I often say, first of all, get up, scrub up, and show up.
And it's a beautiful way to end the show as well. Anthea, thank you so much for joining us today. Your journey from television to entrepreneurship shows that reinvention is not only possible, but powerful. Your message about confidence, well-being and courage will resonate deeply with our listeners across the world. If people are interested to learn more about your products and about you, where can they find you? And please do share your website with us.
I'm actually very easy to find. Thankfully, my mother gave me a name which is recognizable. Yes. So my website is antheaturner.com. And of course, I'm always popping up on Instagram under at Anthea Turner.
That's beautiful. Thank you once again. And to close today's show, I've chosen a part of a song that reflects Anthea's radiance, elegance, and the way she continues to glow through every chapter of her life. Sparkle and Shine by Kat Edmondson, because Anthea, that's exactly what you do. Thank you for listening to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. Until next time, take care of your health, your heart, and each other.
So the critics stand in line to doubt you, make you question who you think you are. If they ask me, I tell them all about you. You have all the makings of a star. You sparkle and shine. You make the world all aglow. Oh my, my, my. You're so divine. You've even got style there in that smile you wear. Floating down the boulevard with stars in your eyes and a dream in your heart.